Indeed, it's good to have everybody here this morning. I want to give a special welcome to those that are visiting with us today and hope that if you get a chance that you'll come back and be here with us at Mount Zion to worship God. It has been, certainly, if you've had the TV on at all, it's been a terrible week. And I don't even remotely pretend to understand how, as Brother Kelly Hudson mentioned in his prayer this morning, I don't know how that anybody, what gets into somebody's mind that would make them want to do a deed as evil as that man did in shooting 70 people. 70. I can't even, it's just beyond my imagination. But I do know that the Lord is still over all. And I believe that there's justice, and I believe that it'll be in the hands of God. And I hope this morning that we continue to think of those families that did lose loved ones. I believe there was 12 altogether that were killed, besides those that are in critical condition, and that we will continue to remember them. What I want to talk about to you this morning, I want to emphasize this morning the word shame. Because we're living in a society today that seems to me like that word's just about almost obsolete. And when we do use the word, we probably today use it in the wrong way. I hear, and I use the word myself in the same way that I hear it being used. We certainly do use it wrong. For example, every once in a while you'll hear about maybe where a little child has passed away and somebody said, well, that's a shame. And if you think about it, that's not a shame at all. It's tragic. It's a horrible thing to happen, especially to the parents that loses a small child, but it's not a shame. And I'm going to explain to you what the Bible defines shame as in just a minute, but I hear others. Someone's in a bad accident. And maybe it was a loss of life, or maybe it was something that was going to cause that person to be, their life to be interrupted, or it's something that they was going to have to live with the rest of their life. And people say, well, that's a shame. And that's not really what the Bible calls a shame. And I hear people say, well, Aunt Sally or so-and-so was diagnosed with cancer. And that's a terrible thing to have a family member to succumb to something like that, but it's not a shame. We call it a shame, but it's not a shame at all. I hear a lot of farmers, and being a farmer myself, I'm sensitive to those things, but we've just come through a tremendous drought here in this community, and for those of you that are not involved in agriculture, that probably don't mean too much to you, but the corn crops is not going to be much this year. You'll feel it later. But they say, boy, it's a shame. Now, that's not really a shame. It's tragic. It's bad, but it's not a shame. And so we want to talk to you about things this morning that are a shame according to what the Bible says. And it's altogether different than what we think, though, because shame in our society today doesn't seem to be the same as it was many years ago. Shame is preventable. All those things that I mentioned to you this morning, those things may not be preventable, but shame is preventable. And according to what the Bible teaches about it, it's a whole lot different than what we think about. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, Jeremiah said that Israel, the country, nation of Israel, God's chosen people at that time, had committed abominations, but they weren't ashamed. If you commit abomination, you ought to be ashamed. But he said that they were not. He said neither could they blush. And I want to ask you how long this morning. How long has it been since you saw somebody blush? Well, I can't even remember the last time I saw anybody blush. Usually we blush because we're embarrassed about something. That causes us to blush. But, you know, with the things the way they are now, and the media the way that it is, and with TV the way it is, and with society the way it is, and people talking the way they talk today, we become hardened to it. And nobody blushes anymore. It has to be a real shame before anybody. He said Israel couldn't blush. He said they forgot how to blush. And he said, I will visit them, and they shall be cast down. For not blushing? No, because they didn't know what shame really was. And so I want to talk to us this morning for a few minutes about what shame really is. I don't think that there's anything that's any more demeaning or degrading or disgraceful as the embarrassment of being shamed. Now, we've all surely experienced sometime in our life something that's happened to us that we wished hadn't happened, that caused us shame, that caused us to be embarrassed. Maybe it was something that we said. Have you ever said something, and then just immediately after you said it, you wish you hadn't said it because it made you look like a fool? That month in the Eaton's family. Now, I'm not the only Eaton that has done that, I guarantee you. But you say something, you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Sister Wanda Bash is here this morning. And I'm going to see if she reddens at this, see if she blushes at this. The Sunday night we were talking, and Wanda said this. She said, oh, I don't know how y'all take care of them kids. It's hard on me and Barry 8 years old and y'all. And she immediately said, It was really true. But it was almost like she wished she hadn't said it. There wasn't anything wrong with it. And I want to say to you this morning that all of us, we've had little incidents that happened to us that caused us to be ashamed. Now, and we're going to talk about some of those this morning. One of them that I have now put on the screen up here, the Bible says that people that do not know God, it's a shame to them. Never have we lived in a society since the United States has been a country. Never have we lived in a society that there are fewer people living today that know God. There's never been a time that there are fewer people that know God. That's the truth. Now, people in foreign countries, they may have a Bible. We had a fellow here the other night, on Sunday night, and he said that when the church here at Mount Zion buys Bibles and sends them to foreign countries, you know what they do with those Bibles? They take these Bibles and cut them up and pass them out among the members, and then they swap. So one Bible goes a long way. Remember how many Bibles we got in our house? I bet we've got seven or eight Bibles at home. And a lot of people have got more than we do. But it's a shame that we don't know what's in them in this society anymore. And it's a shame that we're living in a society that people don't know what the Bible says. Barry and I were watching a TV show the other night. And I don't recall, everybody's memory is better than mine, yes, but I don't recall what the question was, but they had these people on there that's going to ask you questions, kind of like Jeopardy or something. What was that? And they had a Bible question. Guess what? Nobody got it right. People avoid anything to do with the Bible because they're ignorant. They don't know what the Bible says. And it's a shame that we're living in a society that people don't know the Bible or what it is. It's a shame that there are people that do not know God. Atheism has doubled in the last 20 years. Can you believe that? People that don't know, it's a shame that we're living in that kind of society. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, they must have had a problem in the church at Corinth back 2,000 years ago, or this wouldn't have been mentioned. I wonder what the Apostle Paul would say today if he could come back and see today what we got. I know what he'd say. He'd say, it's a shame. And here's one right here. And this is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, first 8 verses there. We don't think about it, anything about it in our society anymore. But there it is on the board, and that is, it's a shame to go to law with your brother. We are the soonest country that there is on earth. You know that? Now here, boy, here's the statistic. Everybody hates statistics. But I got to give you this one. 70% of all the lawyers in the world are in the United States of America. 70%, we're only 5% of all the world population. But we're 70% of the lawyers. Well, why? Man, that's why. You and I were watching television the other morning. We turned the TV on. Now, some of you haven't heard me tell this, but bear with me. I'm going to tell it again because it's worth it. Turn the TV on at 5:30 on Channel 13 and watch it at 7 o'clock. That's an hour and a half. Nine lawyers advertised here in that hour and a half. Some of them more than one. Four of them for sure was on there twice. I've seen them. And why? Because it's profitable. Money in. We sue each other, especially insurance companies. We rip at the insurance companies. Well, why? What's kind of like they asked John Dillinger one time, why do you rob banks? He said, well, that's where the money is. Well, that's why they sue insurance companies, that's where the money is. But we sue each other. And here's what the Bible says about it. We don't think that's a shame in our society. God said, had it written in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, that's a shame. Brother going to law against brother, we sue each other over everything. And he says, and that we go to law before the unjust. Here we are, Christians, brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we go to people that, who knows, you may get an atheist judge, for all I know. We sue each other, and it's not right. It's a bad influence for Christians to do that on other people. Sets a bad example. And there are other reasons why we ought not to do it. Peter said this. He said, why not just take wrong? You may be in the right about it, but don't go to court over it. But we don't seem to think of it in this society in that way, because we seem to be, we're like Israel. Our face don't get red anymore. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said this. He said, there are some things that ought not to be spoken of. Well, what would be those things if we can't speak of them? And there are private things in our own households that happen that ought to stay at home. Now, I recall one when I was about 10 years old, and I never have got to tell it because I wasn't supposed to tell it. But that's 60 years ago. My mom had some kids, that's my grandma on my dad's side. I stayed all night with her one night on Saturday night, but going to church the next morning. Next morning she gets up, and she's fixing breakfast, and she yawned real big, and her teeth fell out. I fell out and fell in the flower canister. And that was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life, and I laughed. And my granddaddy laughed, and my cousin was there, and she laughed, and Grandma Neal laughed. We all laughed. That's the funniest thing. I said, just wait till I get to church and tell this. And she said, you don't have to tell it at church for everybody to know. There are some things that ought to be spoken of. And I said, but Mom, it's true. And she said, you don't have to tell it just because it's true. But I didn't tell it. But there are some things we feel like that in this society, and if you look at the news media, you'll believe this even more. It's got to be told. Bring on all the news reports. It's got to be told, good or bad. And it's in the fact. It's got to be told. And here's Paul telling the Ephesians, there's some things don't have to be spoken of. Now, what he's not really speaking about the things that I... There's some things that are of a private nature that ought not to be told. Sometimes it's not just families, but it can be in our church family. There's some things that pertain to just the church here at Mount Zion that the whole world don't have to know. And we don't have to... Some things... And then there are some things... There are some things that we don't want to talk about in front of our children. Adult things... And I find that in this day and time that young children, they know more now about sex than I did whenever I was a young adult. Things that ought not to be spoken of. And I hear language from young people nowadays that I would have never heard. And we've got no shame. Our face don't get red anymore. And that's what he said about Israel. Shame on these. Shame on people that refuse instruction. He said this way back in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 11. Chapter 13 verse 18. That's a lot of scripture. But he says it for emphasis. It's over and over. He says that a prudent person. What's prudent? Well, that's somebody that's got some sense. A prudent person will cover his shame. How many times do we, in this life, we just let it go? And we don't try to cover it because that's the way society is, and so we don't think anything about it. Shame on those that refuse instruction. Shame on those whose hearts are gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed. We just write it off in our societies. There's no such thing as shame anymore. There's no such thing as blushing anymore in our society because we consider ourselves to be above it. It's a shame. It's a shame when a child talks back to its parents. And I see more and more and more of that in our society today. That's a shame. It never was a shame in my father's house because it wasn't done. You sass my daddy and you find yourself picking yourself up out of a corner over there somewhere. I guarantee it. Of course, today they'd get him for child abuse. But it's a shame in our society that children, little small children, will talk back to their parents. That's one of the shames in our society. I don't know where we're going with this. And it worries me and it bothers me that we're going in a direction that we don't have any consideration for. Even the law of Moses, old, it said, honor thy father and mother, that your life may be long upon this earth. First commandment was promised. We don't do that like we used to many years ago. Here's one. Shame on these. Shame on those that answer before hearing. What? Shame on people that before they know, we pass judgment on matters we don't know anything about. I think about that fellow that killed all those people out there in Colorado. How easy it is for me to say, well, that guy's nuts and I'll just shoot him too. Matter of fact, I've done already heard that said. I don't know anything about that man. Maybe that is the answer to it, but we haven't heard the whole matter yet. And the Bible instructs me that I better not be passing judgment on things that I don't know anything about until I hear the whole matter. And I don't know in our society today as many television stations that we've got, as many news media outlets, that we're going to ever hear the whole truth. We may never know what it is. Now that's up to justice. That's why God has the justice system for us, that we answer before we hear, judging before we have the evidence. He says it's folly in Proverbs chapter 18. In verse 13, he says it's foolishness. And the result of it is often the wrong answer. When we answer before we hear the whole matter, that's what happens, especially when it comes to Scripture. Here's one, shame on these. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, shame on the lazy. If you don't know this, now you've been under a rock somewhere. We've got more lazy people in the United States of America today than we've ever had since George Washington. We got more people standing there with their hands out waiting for somebody else to do something for them than we've ever had. And the ones of us that do work are supposed to contribute to the ones that don't work. Somebody said, well, you're getting in politics. Hey, I can't help it. If it's politics, I'm preaching Scripture. Right here it is. I gave you book, chapter, and verse on it. We got more people that are standing there waiting for the government to feed us or do something for us than we've ever had in our society. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. It's a shame, all right. The Bible says that it is. But it says that if any man does not work, let him not eat. What? Well, it'd be a shame to let somebody starve to death. See, that's what we say is shame, but that's not what God says is a shame. It's a shame. in our society today are to work. Those of you that are my age and maybe a little older, some of you a little bit, do you remember that when you used to come home from school that your mama or your daddy had chores for you to do? We don't have that in our society anymore. We're not a rural agrarian society anymore. I come home and I went to spring, carried water. Somebody said, "Boy, you are old." I sure am. Then I carried water from a spring, and then I carried in kindling because we cooked with the wood stove, and then I went and got the cows up. We milked and fed the hogs, and if you wasn't wore out by then, you would be. And we don't do that anymore. We've got everything handed to us on a silver platter, and it's a shame that parents are bringing their children up in this society. It's a shame that they don't know what work is. They graduate from high school, they don't have a skill, and they go out into the workplace. They don't last very long because they haven't been taught to work. They haven't been taught responsibility. They don't know what. It's a shame that our society's like that. It's not a shame to have a job. It's not a shame to work. And according to the Bible, working is not dishonorable. You don't have to hang your head and blush because you're a working person. Young people, I want you to hear me when I say that. It is not a shame to work. It's a shame to be lazy. And your mom and daddy ought to do something about it if they're not doing it right now. It's a shame, Bible says, for a child to be left by himself. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. This happens a lot today. I wonder if any of you saw recently where there was some woman here in town who was in charge of 19 children in her home, and she leaves them all, I think, older than 14 years old or something. Somebody help me. 14. And she goes off to Chicago doing God knows what. And leaves 14 children in that house and 9 cats and dogs. And those children are left alone with nothing to eat or very little to eat. And I thought, what in the world is the matter with anybody to do something like that? Now there's a shame. And I don't know where the children, they took the children out and put them around foster homes or something. There's a shame. But that's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about parents that have children that neglect or ignore those children. It's a shame that they don't take responsibility for those children. That's what he's speaking of right here. And it's a shame that we've got that and let that child go off in its room and play games on video or do something else, and parents don't worry about it. Now, when they ought to be instructing that child, whenever they ought to have a relationship, a close relationship with that child, it's a shame that our society has got into that kind of situation. But we got it there today. And it's wrong according to the Bible. As long as it's in the Bible, as long as it's still there, I'm going to preach on it. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm still going to preach on it. Because it's there. Don't tell your children that way. It's wrong, and it's a shame. Your face ought to get red about it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Last one on the board. Those that mind earthly things. It's a shame. It's what the Bible says. It's a shame for those that mind earthly things. What earthly things? Well, we got more of them in our society than we've ever had. When I was young, now I'm old, as David said. But when I was young, there wasn't all that many places to go. We didn't have television didn't come out. I remember coming to revivals out here at Mount Zion when I was 10 or 12 years old. All the windows was up, but we didn't know what air conditioning was. Preacher preach an hour and a half. I don't know how people keep the fans that long during those days. And there was a lot of people here that wasn't affiliated with the church here at Mount Zion. We've had people from all over the community that came. And the church would be full, and there'd be people standing outside. We don't see that anymore. Because there's too many things to do. We've got too many earthly things that's going on. There wasn't any place else to go. Nobody's going to a Batman theater in 1951. We never heard of Batman. We wasn't going to ball games. We wasn't going to ball break. We wasn't. It was a community thing, and people came together to hear the word preached because
it was something to do in the community. Really was. Now, hey, what are you saying right here? Those that mind earth, we got so many earthly things going, it takes us away from the Lord. Too many earthly things that's going on. I'm not condemning you if you want to go to the theater and see Batman, but don't miss church to do it. Because it's an earthly thing. Church is not. Church is important. Parents, make sure that your children know the difference between spiritual things and earthly things. And emphasize the spiritual things over the earthly things. Earthly things, many things in earthly things, but it affects many church members. Got too many activities that's outside the church that we think is more important than spiritual things. It keeps people from attending church. It keeps us from giving because we've spent our money someplace else. We got a responsibility to the Lord to give, but we ain't got it because we spent it somewhere else. And it makes us worldly. When we miss church to do something else that's of a worldly nature, it ought to be a shame to us. Our face ought to get red. And yet sometimes it doesn't because, well, that's what everybody else is doing, so what difference does it make? Well, I gave you a few this morning. I hope that you'll think about them. I hope you'll consider them. If you need to make some changes in your personal life, hey, do that. Now, if I just reminded you of something that you hadn't thought of for a long time, good. Now, if you don't want to hear it, well, if you come back here, you're going to hear it again. Because I'm gonna, as long as it's in here, I'm going to preach on it. God hadn't changed His mind. I believe that when you do something that's foolish, when you do something that makes you look like a fool, your face ought to get red. When you do something that's against God's will, your face ought to get red. He said to Israel, look, that didn't even blush anymore. Now, that's not the society that God wants us to be in today. If there's somebody here this morning who's not a Christian, who needs to be a Christian, we offer this invitation song. It's a time now that you can come and dedicate your life to Christ. Great while we stand and while we sing.